to the book of Acts again, and we'll be reading Acts chapter 15, verse 22 to 29, which reads, "Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders and the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas called Barsabbas and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter: The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicilia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and traveled to you with words and settled in your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it seemed good to us, having come to an accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth, for it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from this, you do well. Farewell." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have come to the point when we are going to hear from your word. Speak to us, O Lord, and let your word go forth with power and authority. Help us not to be only hearers, but also doers of your word. Let your name be glorified, O Lord, and be lifted high even through the preaching of your word. We thank you, and we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So in our exposition of the book of Acts, last Sunday we considered how the council at Jerusalem proceeded. And how it was concluded that there's no need for the Gentile believers to be circumcised. And we saw the Spirit-led judgment of James, which required the Gentiles to do some things for the sake of the peace and harmony of the Jews and Gentiles who are believers. We will see that they resolved to write a letter and send it to these Gentiles. And so today we are looking at that resolution to write that letter and to send, and how they sent it to the Gentiles. So we see here in verse 22 that then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas called Barsabbas and Silas, leading men among the brothers. So in the last sermon, we saw that the whole assembly had come to an agreement with what James had said. That's why we see in this verse that it seemed good for the apostles and the elders and the entire church to send now a letter and to accompany, and some brothers to accompany Paul and Barnabas. So we it shows that there was an agreement. There was no part of the church which disagreed. Maybe, probably the Judaizers themselves did not come to that to the agreement. That's why we see that they resolve. It seems good for them to choose some men so that they accompany Paul and Barnabas to go back to Antioch and give their reply. So it is really a beautiful thing for a church to come to an agreement over such an important issue as this here. And may be our prayer always that even here at RBC and even in our sister churches, that there will always be such an agreement as we see in the early church here. Because imagine if there had been a disunity among some leaders and all members of the church. Where some members or some leaders were saying, no, the Gentiles have to be circumcised, and others were saying, no, they should not be circumcised. It would have been a very bad thing, and this same disunity would have spread to other churches, including the church at Antioch and even the newly planted churches among the Gentiles. But of course, this unity and agreement should be attributed to the influence of the Holy Spirit who was among them. And it is this Holy Spirit, it is Him who enabled even James to come to such a judgment which we saw last Sunday. So again, pray for your leaders that they will come to such agreements each time they are faced with decisions to make. So that this will ensure peace and unity among the brothers and sisters in the church. So we see that the men whom they choose to accompany Paul and Barnabas are called, first of all, Judas was called Barsabas and Silas. So this Barsabas, some scholars think that he was the brother of another Barsabas whom we see in chapter 1 of this book. However, he's not mentioned anywhere in the Bible in the entire New Testament. So we know that he was one of the prophets, as we shall see down there. But this Silas, we believe, or many scholars believe, that he's the same person who was called Silvanus. And he accompanied Paul on his second missionary journey. And it is believed also that he's the same person who helped Peter later to write his two episodes. These two brothers are described as leading men among the brothers. It is possible that they were part of the eldership, or else they were men, gifted men, who were given an opportunity time and time to preach and teach the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we see in verse 32 that they were prophets. And we, as we have seen in many parts of this book, these prophets were not primarily those who foretold the future, but primarily their work was to proclaim the word of God to the believers. So the reasons why they tell or choose this man to accompany the brothers seem to be this. Yeah, one of them seems to be that since these brothers were prophets, they knew, the church knew that they would be of good help to the spiritual lives of the brethren there at Antioch. And indeed they were, because we read down there that they encouraged and strengthened the brothers at Antioch. But we also see in verse 27 that the other reason was that they were to bear witness with their mouth to the written contents of the letter which was being sent. This shows that these brothers were also part of the assembly, and they also agreed towards the judgment which James came up with. But indeed they were choice men. The church was sending some of their best men to the brethren at Antioch. And they knew that they would be of good help to the brethren there. May it be true in our case always that whenever we are sending brothers to other churches, that we will send those whom we are sure that they are going to be of good help to the spiritual lives of the brothers and sisters there. Especially if we are sending to churches which have been newly planted. So it seems also this brother, they knew that there will be some people at Antioch who would not be very well convinced with the judgment. And so these brothers would take time to expound them the gospel and what it takes for one to be truly saved. So further now we see the contents of the letter. So we see in verse 23 that with the following letter, and the letter starts with the brothers, both the apostles, the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicily and Cilicia, greetings. Yes, so the contents of the letter run from verse 23 to 29, and the style of the letter was that of a typical first century letter. Which had three parts, which had standard letter opening, the body, and then the conclusion. And the standard opening starts with the people who are writing this letter. So we see, they say the brothers, both the apostles and the elders. Also the recipients are the church in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. And immediately after that comes the salutation or the greetings. So we see that the people who are sending the letter are not only the apostles or not only the church, but both the apostles, the elders, and the entire church. Yes, and actually some versions read the apostles, elders, and the brethren, meaning the church at Jerusalem. Showing that the church was also involved in sending this letter. Yeah, but as some commentators have said, this shows the humility of the apostles. Because the apostles would have utilized their apostolic authority to say, we are the ones, we are the only people sending this letter. And as one commentator said, if it had been the Pope of Rome in charge, as he claims to be a successor of these apostles, he says this is what he would have said. Yeah, if those apostles were like this Pope, they would have said this. They would have said, we the apostles, Christ's vicars upon the earth, the pastors of all the pastors of all the churches. And the sole judges in the matters of faith. Yeah, that's how the Pope calls himself. Yeah, but these apostles, they show humility. They know that the decision was not made by them alone. The whole church and even the church elders were also involved. That's why the letter contains all the three parties. May the leaders of today copy such humility of the apostles. Notice that the recipients are those who are the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicilia. So they were writing to only the Gentile believers. There was no need to write to the Jews. Because the Gentiles were the ones who were concerned here first and foremost. So the controversy had started in Antioch. But it seems that it spread to Syria also. That's why one of the destinations of the letter is Syria as well. Of course, Syria was where Antioch was located. And it seems that some churches had also been planted in the entire country of Syria. And then this Sicilia was a province located in Asia Minor, which was bordering Pamphylia in the west. And also bordering Lycaonia and Cappadocia in the north, and also bordering Syria in the east. Tarsus, where Paul was born, was located in this country of Cilicia. And since Paul had gone there after he first went to Jerusalem. No, he first went to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem, the first time he went to Jerusalem, after Jerusalem he went to Tarsus. That's what we see in Acts chapter 9 and verse 30. So it is possible that he preached the gospel to the people there, and probably some churches were planted. And that's why it seems that now the controversy spread to Caesarea also. It seems that this false teacher of Judaism also went or had followers who went to Caesarea and preached that the Gentiles there should be circumcised to be truly believers. It is so sad to note how false teaching spreads faster, even faster than the truth. That's why you see that the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, are almost all over the world. But you may find that there are some countries in the world where the Reformed faith has not reached there yet. So the servants of the devil are more zealous than the true servants of God. It is a lamentable fact. We who know the truth, we should be more serious, we should be more busy going up and down preaching this truth to the people who are being deceived by falsehood. But in most cases, we are very comfortable in our comfortable zones and leaving these people who preach falsehood to move from place to place to spread their false teachings. May the Lord help you and me that we will be serious going from place to place to preach the truth of the gospel. So we see that he sent greetings to the brethren there. And the word used here for greetings just means be well, or be safe. It is a small word, but if used sincerely, it shows love and care to the person whom you are sending it to. And so the brothers or the brethren at Jerusalem were wishing the brothers and sisters in other places to be safe and to be well. Next, now from verse 24, we see the body of this letter. Where verse 24 says, since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettled in your minds, although we gave no such instructions. So here, of course, they are talking about these Judaizers who traveled from this church at Jerusalem to go to Antioch and preach the false gospel, which was that the Gentiles, in order to be truly saved, they have to be first circumcised. It seems that these Judaizers went secretly without even informing the church. Because if they had informed the church of their intentions to go and teach whatever they went and taught to the Gentiles, probably it would have been addressed at Jerusalem itself, and it would not have spread to the Gentile world. So, but probably they claim that when they reach in Antioch, they claim that the apostles were in agreement with them, or they sent them. That's why here we see they say that since we heard that some person have gone out for mass and traveled you with words unsettled in your mind, although we gave no instructions. So they did not give any instructions or orders to them to go and preach whatever they preached. They were not even in agreement with them. So we see that they say that they unsettle the minds of the Gentiles. And here, unsettling their minds means they were disturbed, they were confused, they caused anxiety to the minds of these Gentile believers. Because they caused them to doubt their salvation and to think that they needed something else to be truly saved. Oh, may it not be said of you that you trouble the minds of the brethren. Because it is very possible for you and me to trouble the minds of the brethren through teaching or even your lifestyle. Instead of troubling the minds of the brethren, for in your case should be that you are of encouragement and strength to them, like Silas and Barnabas were. Father, we see in verse 25 that it seemed good to us, having come to an accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. First, coming to an accord here means they came to an agreement and they were of the same mind. It's a very beautiful thing, and as we saw, it is due to the work of the Holy Spirit among them. And we note that they call Paul and Barnabas as our beloved, meaning highly esteemed, dear, favorite, worthy of love. Especially because of the labors, how they were laboring faithfully for the sake of Christ. And in verse 26, we see further, they talk about them as men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, here risk means they surrendered their lives. And of course, this refers to the persecution which Paul and Barnabas had gone through. How, for example, they were drove out of the city of Antioch in Pisidia. And how Paul, for example, in the city of Lystra was stoned almost to death. But even in the midst of such persecution, they went forward with their mission. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ had talked of Paul as one who would suffer many things for his name's sake. And even later, Paul also said that he did not count his life worthy or dear to himself. What he cared about most was to see that the mission which our Lord had given to him would be successful. And the same can be said of his accompanied, this person who accompanied him, Barnabas. But can it be said of you, my friend, that this brother or sister has risked his life for the sake of Christ? I doubt. I think in your case, maybe said this brother or sister who has preserved his life for the sake of enjoying the pleasures of the world. Yes, but as true Christians, you should be willing to risk your life for the sake of Christ. There's nothing so important than that in the world. To risk your life to see that souls come to Christ. We thank God for the brothers whom we hear that they are risking their lives for the sake of the name of Christ. For there are many people who are going to places like Iraq and other Muslim countries where Christianity is illegal. But they're not counting their lives dear to themselves. They care to see the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. May it be true of us even here at RBC. May you be prepared to be even sent in a very difficult place where you'll be even killed for the sake of Christ's name. May God awake us from this lethargy and cowardice, so that we'll care for the sake of Christ's name to see that souls are brought to Him. We see, Father, in verse 27, that we have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same words by the word of mouth. So the apostles cared so much about their brethren in Antioch and the other Gentile churches. So he wanted them to be very much convinced that they did not need to be circumcised so that they become truly believers in Christ. That's why on top of writing the letter, they also sent some brothers to talk about the contents of the letter through their mouth also. Because it seems that with the letter alone, the Gentile believers would have said, but Paul and Barnabas, this is their view. What if they are the ones who wrote the letter and came back with it to us? But with the presence of these brothers who seem to have been in the assembly, they would be very much convinced that this is the view of the church at Jerusalem. And further in verse 28, they say, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. As we saw last Sunday, although it is James who made the judgment, but this verse shows that they agree that that judgment was a spirit-led judgment. It must have been that before or even during the assembly, they were engaged in prayer. To seek the guidance and influence of the Holy Spirit on whatever decision which would come forth. And that's why at last when James came up and made that judgment, they concluded that this is what seemed good to the Holy Spirit as well. This is very important. Even as today, when we have decisions to make, let's seek the influence and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So that what you do will be pleasing in God's sight. But this is important, most important, especially to the church leaders, that they always seek the guidance and the influence of the Holy Spirit in the decisions which they make. Because imagine, for example, if these apostles gave a response to the Gentile believers which came from their own minds. And imagine they say, yes, you go ahead and be circumcised. It would have been terrible, and they would give an account to God for their decisions which were not godly. But these people were led by the Holy Spirit. They sought His guidance in whatever they did, and may we copy their example as well. So the church leaders should be very prayerful, and even you, the congregants and the believers, should pray much for your leaders. And then pray for us as we make various decisions for the church. That's why Father, they say, it seemed, verse 28, for it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and was to lay no greater burden than these requirements. So it shows that telling that if they would have told the Gentiles to be circumcised, it would have been a greater burden on them. This obedience to the law so that one can be saved is really a greater burden. And burden here means load or weight. And repenting and believing in Jesus Christ is a lighter yoke, as even our Lord Jesus Christ Himself said. But if one thinks that they will do good works so that they be saved, then that is a greater burden which they will not bear. That's why again and again we appeal to you, and I again appeal to those who are listening to me and are not saved. That you should repent and believe in Jesus Christ. To take up His light yoke. Otherwise you continue with this great burden of obeying, trying to obey the law of God. And it will not even bring you close to God. And at the end you'll be judged and be sent to hellfire where you suffer forever and ever. So friend, if you're still in your sins and you're listening to me, turn to Christ, repent and put your trust in Him. So they talk about these requirements or necessary things. which of course were part of the ceremonial law, but they are in and themselves are not a greater burden, like they would tell if they are told the Gentiles to be circumcised. Because the reason, as we saw last Sunday, was for the sake of the harmony between the Gentile believers and the Jews believers. Because in the early church, many of those churches, even among the Gentiles, were full of Jews as well. Yes, since the Jews have been dispersed to so many nations all over the world. So these requirements, we again see them in verse 29, that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. And they say, if you keep yourself from this, you do well. So as we saw last Sunday, it would have been very offensive to the Jews if the Gentiles had participated in these practices. It would have been offensive to the Jews. It would have affected their conscience, since it was these practices were forbidden by the ceremonial law of the Jews. Which the Jews were still following up to that time. That's why it pleased God that these Gentiles should abstain from these practices, so that there will be peace and harmony between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. That's why here the apostles, the elders, and the church write and say, if you keep yourself from these things, you do well. Not that they will be truly saved by following this, by abstaining from these practices, but that it will please God and it will create peace and harmony between them and their brethren from the Jewish origin. But generally we see that in this letter, the brothers at Jerusalem cared and loved so much their brethren at Antioch and in the other Gentile churches. They sought to see peace and happiness among them. They were not happy with the way the false teachers made their minds to be unsettled. That's why they decided to write such a letter and send it with the brothers, and even send some brothers, chosen men among them, to accompany them. May this be true with us even today, that we care and love our brothers in even our sister churches, and care and to see that they are at peace and they are happy and they are enjoying their salvation. May it be never said of us that we are troubling them or we are causing their minds to be unsettled. Even in our church, we should care to see that our fellow brothers are at peace, are happy, and are joyfully enjoying their salvation. Yes, may the Lord Help us to see this come true even in our midst today. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for the care and love which we see among the brothers of the early church. And, oh Lord, may it be true of us. May we desire to be a source of encouragement and strength to the brethren and not to disturb them by either false teachings or evil lifestyles among us. Be with us, O Lord. We thank you for your word. We pray that we will put in practice whatever we have heard today. Lord, and we continue praying for our brothers, whoever they are, that you'll be in their midst, help them spiritually to be strengthened, and even other brothers and sisters in other churches. We pray that you'll be among them and that you will help us to even be zealous to spread your word among those who do not know you. We thank you. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.